Hello and welcome to the Technical Terms podcast number 13 with me, Simon Ward. And our subject today is automatic email signatures may create a binding contract. Now, all of us, or most of us at least, in the business world use automatically generated signatures in our email footers. A recent High Court case, Stavros Neoklias versus Christine Rees, held that an automatically generated signature in an email footer can constitute a signed contract for the purposes of the Law of Property Miscellaneous Provisions Act 1989. Now, as dull as this sounds, the High Court's decision can't be ignored. The dates when the signature on a document required wet ink are long gone. Millions, billions even, of emails are sent from businesses every day. And it's now very likely that those emails that contain signatures in a footer will be deemed to be signed for the purposes of the 1989 Act and quite possibly for other legislation too. And the danger for us is that by sending emails, we could legally bind our businesses without realising it. So what happened in the Neoklias case? Well, the claimants and the defendant were parties to a right-of-way dispute. The claimants sought to buy out a plot of land from the defendant in order to settle the proceedings. Following negotiation on price, the parties came to an agreement. This was contained in a couple of emails between the parties' respective solicitors. Each email concluded in the usual way: many thanks, kind regards, the name of the solicitor, their role, the name of the firm, and contact details. Well, the claimants sued to enforce the agreement. But the defendant's case was that the agreement, although otherwise valid, did not comply with the formalities required by the 1989 Act. As the contract was for the sale of an interest in land, the defendants claimed that it must be signed by or on behalf of each party to the contract, and that this was never done. Well, having considered a number of cases that we won't go into today, the court remarked that the ultimate question was whether the name was applied with authenticating intent. Although the software generated the name by default, the court pointed out that it did so following the conscientious action at some stage of a person entering the relevant information and settings in Microsoft Outlook. The author of the email knew and incorporated this by manually typing many thanks in order to link their name with the contents of the email. And the court therefore held that the requirements of the 1989 Act were satisfied and they found in favour of the claimants. Well, how does this affect you and me? Well, when negotiating over email, if we come to an agreement, even if the terms of that agreement are to be recorded in a subsequent document, there's also a risk that our email correspondence could, in fact, be held to constitute the agreement itself. And that's not usually anybody's intention. Now, it's very likely that the High Court's decision in Neoklias will not be the final word on this matter. Even if the decision is not appealed, a higher court will face a similar scenario to wrestle with sooner or later, and they'll provide the necessary clarification. But in the meantime, if you don't want the contents of your emails to be legally binding, then say so. A carefully worded statement in your signature footer to that effect should suffice, or otherwise make it plain in the correspondence from the outset that you don't intend the email correspondence to be legally binding. Well, I hope that's been helpful. And if you'd like to discuss any aspect of this matter or anything else to do with contracts generally, please feel free to get in touch with me, Simon Ward, by emailing me at simon@technical-terms.co.uk. Now, although I've attempted to explain the law accurately, please note that nothing in this podcast constitutes legal advice. You should always take legal advice from a solicitor or other qualified professional before taking action.